dog. How many of you know that God is on the move? Especially for such a time like this, in this season, that God is inviting the church into a season, into a time of focusing so much on prayer. You know, yesterday Pastor Jonathan spoke about prayer. And lately, you know, most of our pastors in Calvary City Church, we have this this prompting in our spirit, or rather a conviction, a good conviction, that God is inviting the church to prayer. Turn your neighbor and say, God is inviting you into prayer. Today, this morning, I'm going to be touching on the subject of prayer and spiritual deliverance. Prayer and spiritual deliverance. Why I'm going to touching this is because, you know, later on we're going to be having the Fire Altar Conference. So this will prepare your hearts. This will be like the appetizer for your main course. You know, so the main course, the real deal, will take place after 12:30. At 12:30. But now I'm just going to give you the idea of why we pray, the idea of why we should, the people of God should pray. How many of you have had this question before? That, you know, God is all powerful, right? God is all knowing. If He decides He's going to, do it after all, so why do we pray? How many of you had that? Maybe, you know, all of you are good. But I have this struggle, you know, in the past, always. Why do we pray? Why do we go for prayer meeting? Why do we spend times, you know, fasting and praying and hours praying when God has already decided? So today, I'm going to tackle those issues so that when you come into the conference or later on, you know, throughout tomorrow and throughout the next month and the coming years, you will know what is it to pray. And I've always said this, a powerful church is a praying church. A praying church is a powerful church. A praying individual is a powerful individual. A powerful individual is a praying individual. Now, there is so much of power in prayer. And today, we are going to tackle those things. And I'm going to do it very quick so that you can go have your lunch. You know, if your family's back home, you can fetch them, come. And we are going to have a good time in this conference because God is reigniting the fire. The altar of prayer in our life. Now, there's this urgency. You know, if you see in Malaysia, in most of the churches, you know, people are preaching about it. There's this urgency, a call to pray, as in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, verse 30, where God was saying, I'm looking for a man to stand in the gap, to build a wall and pray. And how many of you know that the God has called the church to stand in the gap, to pray, and to pray for our nation, to pray for our family, to pray for our community? And this is what we are going to do in the conference. And I hope and I know and I'm sure that God is going to challenge you to reignite back the passion for prayer. How many of you would like God to do that in your life? To reignite back the passion of prayer. Yesterday, as I was coming to church, I was having a conversation with my wife. You know, from my house to church is about 10 minutes only. And I was talking to my wife as what I was reading in the book of Ephesians and James about prayer. So I was telling her about the urgency to pray. I was telling her, you know, why we should pray. And just talking and just exchanging opinion and ideas. And suddenly, you know, we just felt this warm presence of God just coming through us. And this is what exactly my wife said. She said, you know, I don't know why, but I feel that my heart is pumping. You know, I feel that this conviction is taking place in my heart. Not a bad conviction, but a good conviction. And she told me that, you know, I just feel that I just want to pray in the spirit right now. No, this is not because of our flesh, but the spirit inside of us is groaning for us to come into a point and understanding we are living in the season and the time. There's an urgency to pray. Amen. And why do we pray? And that's what we are going to be talking about. Now, the question here is, we talk about prayer, we speak about prayer, we do it, but I want to take you a little bit deeper to make sure you understand what prayer is. Because if you understand, it will change us the way you pray and how you pray. All right, come on. Every eyes closed, let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for your wonderful presence. I pray, Lord, as you have spoken this word to me and I will speak to your people, the word will fall on good ground. And more on top of that, I pray, Lord, you will bear fruit in the life of our people. Every believer that's sitting here, Father, God, Holy Spirit, you will rebuild this altar of prayer inside of us. Help us to change our perspective, Father. Prayer is not just about begging, Father, but prayer is aligning to the Father's will. Prayer is cooperating to heaven, with heaven, Lord, to make sure things are being done here on earth as in heaven, oh Father. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Come on, give God the glory in this place. Now, I would like to define that prayer. Listen to this very carefully, right? I would like to define, all of us, we know, if I ask you what prayer is, you will say prayer is talking to God, right? You will say prayer is simply going to God's presence and talking. That's very true. Probably that's the number one answer. But I want to take you a little bit deeper. Stay with me. A little bit deeper so that you will really understand. I would like to define that prayer, define prayer as earthly, listen to this, earthly permission for heavenly intervention. I would like to define prayer as earthly permission for heavenly intervention. Now, prayer, simply, prayer is giving heaven permission to intervene. Now, probably you're looking at me with your eyes being open and you're saying, why in the world that we need to give heaven permission? Why does heaven need our permission? Now, let's go step by step, all right? This will really help you understand what prayer is all about. Now, in order to understand, we need to understand the will of God. Now, the will of God, there's two kinds of will of God. One is conditional will of God. Another is the unconditional will of God. An unconditional will of God is, for example, God has decided it will happen, means it will happen. Without any interference, without any cooperation, without any involvement of man, it will happen. Of his sovereignty, it will happen. That's the unconditional will of God. The conditional will of God is like, God has decided it will happen unless people of the church or believers cooperate together with him. Come on, people of God. Understand? Unconditional will is God says it, no matter you like it or you don't like it, it will take place. But then, conditional will of God is like, for example, NG, God has a plan for you. This is what it will happen. That's God's will for you. But unless and until you pray, you will not see it happen. Hello? Stay with me. So for us to understand prayer, we need to understand the two will of God. Now, there are many things in our life and in our nation that takes place is conditioned by our absence and presence of our prayer. Come on, somebody talk to me. Many things in our life that takes place in our family, in our nation, is conditioned by the absence or the presence of your prayer. For example, what do I mean by that? If you pray, this is what's going to happen. If you don't pray, that's what's going to happen. It's conditioned whether you pray or you don't pray. And that's the reason why Paul will say in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17, pray without ceasing. Why would Paul say that? Because you see, how many of you know what's God's conditional will and the unconditional will over your life? We don't know sometimes. Am I right? How many of you know everything? I want to learn from you. Probably we don't know. We are not so clear of what God is doing in our nation. We are not so clear what God is doing in our family. That's the reason Paul was said, if you don't know, it's okay. But you need to pray without ceasing. What does it mean? You bring everything unto God. Pray without ceasing. You bring everything. You bring all to God. You see, listen to this carefully. Prayer does not get God to do something he doesn't want to do. Prayer is not to ask God to do something that he don't want to do. See, most of us, we have this thing, God has said something, and then we are like, I'm going to, change God's decision by prayer. No, that's not how prayer works. Prayer simply means you're giving access to what God has already decided and want to do. Hello, talk to me. Prayer is simply giving access to the heavenly realms. Oh, come on. Prayer is simply saying yes to what God has already decided in your life, in your nation, in your family. That's what prayer is. So now you have this understanding. Oh, wait. Now God has a plan in my life. God has a will in my life. God has decided so many things in my life. So many things are not happening in my life. It's probably because I am not praying. The books are, in Matthew chapter 7 verse 7, it says, what? Ask and it shall be given. Right? Seek and you will knock and the door will open. Search and you will find. And then the following verse, it says what? Let him who asks keep what? Keep asking. Let him, those who knock, keep knocking. Those who are searching, let him keep searching. Now, why in the world, if you read the Bible, especially in the New Testament, Ephesians, the book of James, and throughout Paul's letter, Paul will always tell his people, pray for one another, pray for the sick, pray. Hey, wait, what?
I thought God has already decided everything. Why do we pray? It's because Paul understood that when we pray, we are aligning to the will of God and we are saying yes to God. And because of that prayer, what God has designed for you, poof, pop, it will happen in our life. The problem why there's so much of chaos in our family, in our nation, is probably because the church don't understand the power and the authority that God has given to the church to pray. And for individuals, for fathers and mothers to pray, stand in the gap for your family. Why your families are upside down? Why your little children's like a demon, little demons at home? Because probably you are not saying yes to what God has already decided over your children. Come on, people of God. It's not just by going to Google, going to, you know, here and there, trying to fix your children. No, all this fixing will just be temporary. Come on, people of God. But when you fix your eyes and understand the power of prayer, you see, God has said good things about your children. God has good things, good plans for your children. But until you said, God, I know you got a good plan for my son, for my daughter, and I'm going to pray so that that will, that purpose will come through in my son and in my children's life. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Prayer gives access to what he already wants to do. Now, let's come back to this. How do we know that this is really, really what the Bible says? Now, there's few stories in the Bible, and then three stories in the Bible, and then we are done, right? There's few stories in the Bible that we will see how an earthly permission causes heaven intervention to take place now. How many of you remember the story of the two fish and the five loaves? All right. So now Andrew brought this boy to Jesus and says, you know, Jesus, this boy has only two fish and five loaves. All right. Jesus did something very amazing. He took the fish, he took the loaf, the five loaves, and the Bible says that he looked up to heaven and he gave thanks. Hello, listen to this. Giving thanks is a form of prayer. How many of you know that? Prayer, that's why I say in the beginning, prayer is not just begging. Prayer means giving thanks. Prayer means giving praise. Prayer means, you know, just acknowledging, you know, who God is in your life. That's prayer is. And what did Jesus did? He take everything without seeing the miracle yet. He look up to heaven and he said, Father, I thank you. And he prayed. Now listen to this. And because he prayed, you see, heaven has already decided there's going to be this boy that will come. And there's going to be this disciple, Andrew, who will meet the boy. And Andrew is going to bring the boy to Jesus. Heaven has decided. The Father has decided. But until and unless when someone out of that community are, someone in that place who will recognize there's power in prayer, what was Jesus trying to do here? Jesus was trying to teach the people around there, even if I need to pray, even if I need to be thankful towards God, what more you and I? Come on! As soon as Jesus said, God, I thank you for this fish and then this loaf. And what happened? It multiplied. Why it multiplied? Because it was already decided in the heavens. Likewise, let me tell you something. There are things that God has decided over your life and in our nation. Later we'll go on a little bit on that. And this is another story. And we're going to stay a little bit longer here. The story of Elijah. Now, when I say the story of Elijah, you will think so. You know, it's written in the Old Testament, yes? 2 Kings 17, 18 and all that. But let's look at the book of James now. James chapter 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? The word suffering here means challenges, means problem, means the life that you will go through in the face of the earth. Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing some. Wow, this is interesting here. It means, right, if you're in pain, what do you do? You pray. When you're not in pain, what do? You praise. So you're either in pain or you're not in pain. Am I right? You're either in suffering or not in suffering. If you're in suffering, what do you do, Church? Come on, talk to me. If you're suffering, what do? Pray. When you're not in suffering, what do? You praise. So it's like everything is connected to God. Okay, I'm not going to be touching on that, all right? Let's go to James chapter 5, verse 17 to 18. Now this is where the story gets, all right? This James, he's saying, Elijah, he's quoting the Old Testament, the Elijah, was a man with a nature like who? Like ours. So Elijah is just like you and I, you know, a normal human being, okay? And he prayed what? Come on. He prayed earnestly that it will not rain. And it did not rain. on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Verse 18. And he prayed again. Again. And he prayed again, and the heaven now gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Now, let me just take you back. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, you will find that God said it was not going to rain. And Elijah prayed. Look there. And Elijah, the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain this year, except at my word." Now, if you read following verses and all that, he prayed. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1, the beginning. And it came to pass after many years that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on earth." If you read throughout the whole chapter, you'll find that Elijah prayed. When God spoke something to Elijah, it will not rain, he prayed. Elijah, it will rain, he prayed. Elijah understood that there is power in praying over what God has already spoken. My friend, stay with me. Elijah understood God has already promised. My friend, God has promised a lot of things in your life. God has promised a lot of things in this nation. When God promised and said something, Elijah was like, "You know what? I am going to pray. I will tell you why. Let's say, okay?" And then God says, "I will send rain now after 3 years." Again, Elijah went and prayed. Now, Elijah prayed concerning what was already decided in heaven. Elijah prayed over what God has spoken, what God has promised, what God has decided, what God has promised over our nation. What has God promised over your life? What God has promised over our family? Listen this carefully. You all know the theme of our church. Not just in Calvary. Across Malaysia, you will find that people, the prophets and pastors and evangelists, they say that this year, in this season, in these days, there's going to be greater, what? Harvest. Souls are going to be coming, flooding into the house of God. God has already spoken. Now, if God has already spoken, there is going to be greater harvest. There's going to be soul coming. What's our responsibility now? Just sit down here, fold our hands, and just let God do everything? No, our responsibility and our commitment said, "God, if you have already said that Calvary City Church is going to experience greater harvest, then I want to be part of a prayer team. I want to be part of the prayer movement, and I will pray until I see it happen in my church." That's what Elijah did. He partnered and he cooperated to what heavens have decided. What heaven has decided over your life? I'm sure you have promises. God has spoken to you. If you have not heard the audible voice of God, or you have not been to altar call and a pastor have not, you know, released a word of knowledge whatsoever, all the promises are already in the Bible. You see, the Bible, whatever promises that's already said is already decided. And we just need to, you know, do what? Come to a point and agree and cooperate with heaven. Come on. It's like in a boxing match. Angie, have you been to a boxing match? Were you in a boxing match before? No, listen this. It's like a boxing match. Two of them are fighting, and you are just sitting by the ring, and you are not getting into the ring. All you are doing is sitting by the ring and just throwing the word of God, reciting the promises of God, saying what God is saying. And the guy who's fighting that, listening to all those promises that he has made, listening to all the words that he has said and decided, all he needs to do is one punch and the opponent will get defeated. That's what prayer is. You don't have to get into the ring and do the fight and all that, because Jesus is fighting the war for you. All you need to do is to pray, recite the word of God, proclaim the word of God, proclaim the promises of God. Come on, people of God. God. You don't have to get into the war. God is fighting the war. All you need to do is like, "Ribabaka sanda raba raba sandai." Take authority and pray for your family. "No weapon formed against me and my family will ever prosper." Take authority and say, "My son and my daughter, they will be found in the presence of God. They will serve God." The Bible has said that me and my household, it will serve the Lord. The Bible has said that once saved, the entire household will be saved. Hold that promise and say, "God, you have said this and I'm going to pray." That's the reason why people today sitting here, you are praying for years for your your family members who are not safe. Keep doing that. Pray earnestly. Don't give up. Hang in there, because you're praying over what God has already decided. Come on! That's the reason why you hear stories like someone pray for their spouse or for their family. They say, 10 years I've been praying. And then finally, they accepted Christ. Why? Because there was this moment when one person began to wrestle with God in prayer. Rabba Sanda Rabba. Pray for their salvation. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. Never give up. And it took place. You want to see your household safe? You want to see your family safe? My friend, let's come back to the place of understanding. Power, prayer, there's so much of power. Come on. Now, let's move on. Okay, wait. The story of Elijah again. 1 Kings chapter 18, you'll find that God spoke to Elijah. Elijah prayed. And before that, the altar was broken. Yesterday, Pastor John talked about that. I'm not going to be talking about that. Listen in YouTube. How that, you know, Elijah built the altar again. Now, there was this spirit, demonic spirit, I would say, was hovering over this land. Physically also, okay? Jezebel, we have Jezebel. If you read 1 Kings 18, go back and read. We have Ahab, King Ahab. And then we have Baal, the idol that the people worship. Jezebel, Ahab, and Baal. Jezebel is a spirit that kills and manipulates and lies to the people of God. Ahab is like a spirit in the Bible, if you read, is that robs the joy from the people of God. And then we got Baal, who distorts the truth of the gospel. Lies to you, mellow down the gospel. That's why today we have this modern days new age teaching and all that, mellow down the gospel. Now, we can't deny the fact that these spirits are still hovering in this century. But I have a good news for you, to all of you here. We got another spirit that's way more powerful than all this spirit. This spirit is Holy Spirit. Now, as much as these demonic forces are there in your family, in the spiritual realm, later I will get into that. There's this another spirit that's more way powerful than that, is the Holy Spirit. That's why in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27, it says here, come on, look at the screen. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray or what we pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. I like verse 27. Now he who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. What does it mean in the contemporary understanding? When you pray in the Spirit, when you align with the Holy Spirit, what does it mean as you pray? You are aligning to the will of the Father over your life. You may not know what to pray. How many of you have been like, you know, you feel defeated. You don't know what to pray. It's okay. We all have been through that. That we got no words to say, right? Sometimes when life hits you so hard, you got no words to say. When you got no words to say, you come to the throne of God in prayer and you pray in the Spirit. You know what happens? The Holy Spirit is, you know, He's making intercession on behalf of you according to the will of the Father. That you don't even know what you're praying for. But he's praying according to what God has decided. Come on, people of God. Now, why am I talking about these demonic forces? Why am I talking about that? Now, we talk about prayer, a little bit on spiritual warfare. A little bit of spiritual warfare. Now, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, Paul again. I like Paul in the Bible. He just gives a lot of revelation and teachings, you know. And here Paul says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. What Paul is saying here is that we are not fighting in the physical realms. That's the reason how many of you know, we've been, you know, we pray for Malaysia, you know, remember before the government change and all that, we pray and all that, and then, and then we went for vote. We all get together, vote. Somebody went for Bursa rally and all that. You know, you did all these things. And then we thought we're going to have a change. And then after that, what? Backdoor government. Why? Because the fight, the real war, the real fight is not in the physical. It's not based on the voting. Vote is good. I'm a responsible voter. Go forward and all that. But on top of the voting, On top of going riots and fighting for the rights and all that, there's this war going in the spiritual heavenly realms that we do not see. There's these demonic forces, there's these angelic forces, and constantly in battle because God has decided something, and there are some stops that will cause those things, not to enter into the nation. That's the reason why you will lead me to the second story, and then we are done. First story, the fish, the loaves. Second was Elijah. The third story, relating to this. Now, Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. Because of time reason, we just skip here and there, right? Then I set my face toward the Lord, Daniel is saying, to God, Lord God, to make requests by prayer. Listen to this, Old Testament, and they already start praying. Make requests by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Now here is, if you read throughout the scripture, Daniel was quoting what Jeremiah has spoken. That how, Jerusalem, the city is going to, be desolated and all that. And he was sad and he was praying. Okay, this led to this. Listen to this. Daniel, he make requests by prayer and supplication. Daniel, the great man of God, the man who was so in love with God, the righteous man, he prayed. Let's pause there. Let's go to verse 23. For time's sake, verse 23. At the beginning of your supplication, this is the angel answering. The angel Gabriel came, appeared in a vision to Daniel, and he's saying this. At the beginning of your supplication, the command went out. Listen to this. At the what? Not on the second day when you pray. Not on the seventh day when you pray. Come on. On the very moment Daniel opened up his mouth in prayer, the command already went out. The answer already went out. Come on, people of God. You may be tired praying. You may think that God didn't heard your prayer. The moment when you come to the throne of God and when you pray, there was already command from God. Come out from his mouth. Now there's a catch here. Let's look at Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. You see, please have some, encourage yourself. When you pray, God gave a command. God already said, okay, Daniel prayed, I'm going to do something now. Now listen to this. Then he said to me, the angel, do not fear, Daniel. From the first day that you set your heart on the first day. Oh, I love this. If you have not prayed before, pray, start praying. Your first day is the most significant one. When you don't know to pray, say, God, I don't know what to pray, how to pray. Holy Spirit, teach me. God's already answered your needs. Even before, the Bible said, before you could say a word, God already knows, right? Okay, listen to this. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you have set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. Can I encourage all of you? All your prayers are not in vain. Those of you who are praying for your spouse, praying for your family, even church leaders here, you're praying for your cell group, you're praying for this nation. None of the words will go in vain. Come on! Every prayer, every cry, every tear that will drop from your eyes, God hears them. And he says, I have come because of your prayer. Come on! God is coming to Malaysia because of the cry of his people. Today in the fire conference, as you will come, as you will pray, and God will say that I'm coming because my church, my bride is praying and crying out to me. Come on, be encouraged. Let's go to the next one. This is the catch here, verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, another angel, the archangel, Michael's archangel, right? He came. Behold, Michael, one of the chief of prince, came to help me, for I have been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now, to understand this context of what Paul was saying, there's this war going on in the heavenly spiritual realm that we are not fighting against flesh and blood. Come on, stay with me. What Paul is trying to say here is, listen to this. When Daniel prayed the first day, what? God has gave the command. God has already gave the answer. Boom. And the angel took. It's like post-laju sometimes. They say laju but slow sometimes. No, kidding. That's just here, okay? In heaven, it's not like that. So, I gave my command. Go to Daniel. So, the angels are bringing these answered prayers to Daniel. And in the heavenly realms, there was, You know, if you talk about heavenly realms, this kingdom of Persia is the demonic forces that's stopping certain things to take place because the devil doesn't like the plan of God. Because the devil knew when the plan of God reaches to his children, the children of God will be unstoppable. They will be full anointed. They will be on fire. They will slay Goliaths. They will slay the giants in his life. And because of that, there was this war going on in the spiritual realm. And then another angel came and helped this angel so that this command and this word that was meant for Daniel will come through for him. My friends, there is a war. You can't deny the fact. There's this war that's going on in the spiritual realm. I want you to open your eyes and see it. Each time when you pray, it's not just like, you know, going to God say, you know, praying petty things, but that you will come and you will understand there's this forces there, that this demonic attack is trying to stop you from moving forward. Demonic forces is trying to stop you to experience a complete freedom. But when God has already spoken, and when you align in prayer to the will of God, what is meant for you will come for you. Come on, put your hands together. Now you whole understand. You really understand this whole picture. Oh, okay. Now this is prayer. So whenever you go prayer, you're like, huh? The demon doesn't like me. Brother Christopher, do you know that? The demon doesn't like you. You know that, right? I'm sure. You better be. The demon doesn't like us, right? And he will stop the blessing of God. He will try everything, but only he can only manipulate you. But when the moment when you pray, what I'm trying to give you is the picture of this humble posture, yet so powerful. You don't know what can happen when a man and a woman of God pray. You know, is it Hudson Taylor who said, he who kneels the most stands the best, right? Hudson Taylor, right? He who kneels the most stands before God, not before man, right? Stand best before man. Oh, listen, I love this. Let me say it one more time. He who kneels most before God. What does this kneeling before God means? It means prayer. It means total surrender. It means aligning to the will of God. He who kneels the most before God will stand best before man. How many of you like to stand best in your school, in your working place, in your family, in your church, in our nation? Come on, people of God, that we need to come to a point in understanding, oh, wait, I need to pray. Get your wife. Get your husband, get your children, and say, let's pray. Yesterday, about 2 a.m. in the morning, 3 a.m., after preparing, spending time praying, I went to the room and I took my son and I fed him, you know, milk, bottle milk. Don't think breast milk, okay? Some of you eyes, huh? What is he doing? Giving bottle formula milk. He wakes up in the night. So, but this time I thought, let him not wake up first. Let me give him before he wakes up. Because I'm going to be sleeping at 3 o'clock. Imagine 4 o'clock, he wake up. Going to be disturbing. So I just pushed the bottle in his mouth and he was drinking. With eyes closed, he was drinking. And I took the time for the next 10 minutes to pray, lay hands on his head. And I began to pray, intercede for him. Because I understand my Lord, my God has a lot of plans for this boy. He has great mighty plan for this boy. This boy will be an evangelist. This boy will be a great man of God. But I, as a father, I need to stand in the gap and I need to pray so that what God has decided for him will come to pass. That's what you need to do, every man. You pray for your spouse. Don't be a loser. Don't leave it to your pastors and your leaders to do it. You take the authority and you pray. Come on! Come on, stand up to your feet and we are done. I'm giving you time so that you can go and eat. This is just the appetizer, right? The real deal, the main course is later on at 12:30. Come on, lift up both of your hands to Jesus. Come on, before we take communion, I'm going to pass the time to Pastor Rajan later on. But you lift up your hands right now. Come on. Now, I want you to just open up your mouth right now. Lift up your voice. Lift up both of your hands. Come on, you begin to pray. Come on, no one looking around. Come on, you begin to pray. Come on. Come on, that's right. Lift up your voice. Begin to pray. Don't worry about the song. Come on, you just pray. Come on, lift up your voice. Begin to take authority. Begin to pray. Come on. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Come on, play. Rabba.